Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the podcast today. Before we jump in, I would like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Those machines are sturdy. They will not break down. They were like my old Explorer. They would run. Also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's your one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's unlike anything out there. You know, you can join all these other courses, but I'm guaranteed you don't get their cell phone number. You don't get one-on-one calls. You don't get, you know, hey, Tuesday, I need to call with you. That's what makes teachhoops.com different. We have everything you need to become a better basketball coach. Doesn't matter if you're youth, doesn't matter if you're high school, doesn't matter if you're college. We're here to help. We're here to mentor you through this great journey we call coaching. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
You know, in Europe, the schedule is pretty, you have a ton of time with yourself. And so towards the end of it, you know, you look at kind of what you get from a player, I guess the people around you, and even just kind of your personal little bubble. It's more self-centered because everything revolves around you. If you're tired, right. If you played well, if you didn't play well, your nutrition, how you're managing your rest. But towards the end of it, one of the things that I was able to reflect on is, well, who had the greatest impact in allowing me to live this amazing life? And I look back at it and kind of at every single point, crossroads, it was an amazing coach. And so then, you know, one of the coolest things, and I tell everyone now, you know, the coolest thing I think for me, like life after basketball, was basketball.
Right.
And so now I get to be thrust in this position to where I get to help kids that were in the same vulnerable state that I was in when I was 16, 17, or finishing college, trying to be a pro, or being a pro, transitioning out of, you know, the professional game. And I think the reward that I get for helping those guys genuinely is kind of the new transfer of passion for me, you know?
Did you get to enjoy Europe?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I got to enjoy, of course. Listen, man, I went to Italy, right? The country is just beautiful. The people are warm. The food is incredible. And, you know, it's funny, man, when I went to Europe, you know, I didn't drink, I didn't do anything. But when I went to Italy, like we're having lunch, you know, team lunch. And first thing they do is they put a bottle of red wine on the table, you know, coffee or whatever. But they just really submerge you in their culture. And like they really want you to experience what makes their culture like, you know, really, really good. Right. And I soaked that up. When I first got over there, I was a little Americanized, you know, hey, man, I'm looking for the McDonald's. Right. You know, I'm looking for this. But slowly but surely, I started to let my guard down and, man, that's when I started living life.
Right. Yeah. No, I think sometimes it's like you're so focused too, you lose the perspective of like, oh my gosh, think of the life experiences that you're gonna be able to share with your sons too at some point. It's like,
oh
like,
yeah, man, yeah, it's incredible, man. Yeah, it's incredible. They actually go back, and we haven't been able to because of the COVID situation, but they go back every year to Italy, and they'll spend probably 2 to 3 weeks over there and just kind of reconnect. My oldest son was born there.
Right.
And so
there we go. So that means he's an Italian citizen. We can work that for the Olympics and stuff. There's things you can work that for.
Pasta every day in my house.
Great. So you came back, and then what happened?
Well, I came back, and after I retired, I had a chance to really work in just a ton of player development. And I think the player development for all guys that played is kind of a cushion to narrow down, okay, what you want to do. I knew I wanted to coach. I was trying to evaluate what level that I wanted to coach on. And then, to be honest with you, I had to start learning new knowledge. And so it's a weird concept, and I always try to tell players this, just because you play the game, it doesn't mean you can teach it.
Oh, say that again. Oh my goodness.
It's a fact. So you have to humble yourself, from an expertise point of view, because it's a whole different factor of managing the team, being better, more polished in an administrative way. And, I had to polish up being able to teach the game, at various levels, on-court player development, recruiting, really taking someone's life or plan and managing it from a season perspective into where they're going to go. And which is one of the reasons, man, why I reached out to you, because I was going through a lot of your content. And, like I said, I'm not bashful, man. So I think of, these scenarios as a way for me to update my personal software,
Right.
Instead of lying on, hey, man, I played college ball, but when I played, it was like, there was dinosaurs. So so it was different.
I mean, the three-point line came in sophomore year of my collegiate. I mean, I played the entire high school career without a three-point line. So the kids look at me like I'm from Mars. I go, what are you talking about? We used to jump the ball up. That's how old your coach is.
Hey, man, we can adjust your stats. We can multiply your stats by maybe 1.5 or something like that.
So I know. Well, the thing is, the funny part is I'm not a great – like when I play horse against them, I can beat any one of them inside the three-point line, any one of them. But that's outside my range, like, because I never worked on it. There was no value to shooting a 22-footer.
Yeah.
When you could shoot a 15-footer and it was still 2 points. Well, so they know when they get out past three, they got me.
Oh, yeah.
But it is funny. The jump ball is a whole different – like, if you've ever listened to my podcast, I think the jump balls are – like, talk about dinosaur. Like, I'm not even sure why we do the first jump ball. Like, because maybe in Texas they're better at throwing it, but they're in Wisconsin, they're horrible at throwing that first jump ball. Because they don't – the officials don't practice it, and there's one a game unless it's overtime.
I got you.
So they're horrible. So I think the visiting team, I think basketball should just change. All jump balls should be gone. Because first of all, if you watch the NBA, it's like watching wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Jump ball. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
it is. It's not a jump ball. There's like there's eight guys like basically wrestling outside that circle.
Yeah, trying to box each other out to get
right. It's like just give like the deep, like alternating possession. Visiting team gets the ball to start the game. Poof, the game has changed. There you go. Jump ball's gone. No reason to have a jump ball anymore. But anyway. All right. So did you have to go back to school for teaching?
I had to get a certification, yes, to be able to teach. And so where I'm at now, the school's a little bit more it's more academically driven. And so for what they needed, I guess we first talked about the basketball agenda, what the administration wanted to do with the program, how they wanted to build it. And then also what they were going to put behind it to build. And then also there was a need for, I guess, two areas. And so I do AP computer science, and then I also do personal finance that, I enjoy here at this campus. And so it allows me to, I don't have to necessarily sit up and talk. I get to deal with a bunch of people that are creative in class. And it's kind of fun, for me to kind of teach that curriculum and balance, what I'm doing outside of that.
Okay, but so I'm going to geek out for all the basketball coaches. I'm going to geek out for a second. So I teach AP stats. So So explain how the AP computer science test works.
Like, well, you have a choice. You have a choice. Okay. And so we have a choice. You can do it virtually, which you kind of do through an online portal, and the kids can come here, and there's two parts of it, or you can take it in person. But our AP test this year was a little bit different because they had a project that they had to create, which is called like a create performance task. It's basically creating a functional program with the correct programming, with the correct responses on that. That was 30% of the AP test.
Okay.
And the other part of that, what they did was they had a 70 question, multiple choice, you know, physical test that they took, and they kind of combined the two.
Okay.
And so, but my AP students were, you know, they were my brighter kids. And,
in a normal year, non-COVID, do they have to sit and program during the test, or is it just multiple choice?
Well, the create performance task you actually do in a span of like maybe a month leading up to the AP test. And so what they do is they give them, you know, maybe 14 hours of class time to where they can work on that create performance task. Make sure it functions. And so we allocate, you know, while some of the other students, the novice students, the mid-level students are doing other programming tasks, they're working on their create performance task to make sure it's sharp for their AP test.
Okay.
And then leading up to that test date, they just come in, take the multiple choice question. Yeah, their create performance task is submitted online. And then now I think we'll get the results back mid-July for how my AP students did. But it was fun teaching them all year. It was fun.
Yeah, that's a fun. In another life, I would have pivoted and done computer programming because I was a math major. And anyway, that's why I wanted to ask that question. So sorry for all the basketball coaches listening. I had an AP stats geek out a little bit here. All right. So tell me a little bit about your school. That intrigues me.
Well, the school, it's like I said, I was in Houston and. Okay. There's a ton of basketball resources. The reason why I moved to Houston after leaving school was that I went down to Houston to work out with John Lucas.
Okay.
I was preparing to be a pro. I was working out with a lot of the Rockets guys. And so for moving from little old San Antonio to Houston, I was just like, wow, man, you can work out every day, all day here. There's a ton of pros in the city. There's a ton of coaches. And so I just really grew as a player there. But, you know, I had this opportunity last year to move to Austin. I met with administration, and I think for every basketball coach, you know, we'd like to be able to build things, you know, with a certain type of control. I think that intrigues us a little bit. And so I met with them, and what they told me was, well, hey, we got a great baseball program. We got a great football program. And then, hey, our academics were academic state champs, hey, whatever, last 3 or 4 years, but we want to build the program.
Right.
I said, well, what do you mean by build a program? Well, what we want to do is we want to have one of the best programs in Central Texas, you know, and I started smirking on the inside, but I couldn't really show it.
Right.
So, you know, and I asked him, well, do you know what that means? And
I would have said, what are you talking about? Central Texas, Texas. I would have said Texas.
But, you know, this is how Austin people talk.
I know. My first reaction would have been, hold on, you might have the wrong person. Because we're not talking Central Texas.
Exactly.
Come here. I'm building. Exactly.
Since then, I've been able to kind of self-correct. But they wanted to build a program that we would attract the type of kids that would give it the identity that we wanted.
Right.
They wanted to build a program that also reached out and kind of, you know, it touched the community to where we can make our campus and our school a little bit more intriguing, and then also, I think at times before people believe in what you're building and what you're doing. They have to see it kind of running. They have to see it kind of working. You know, I could go sell this and sell that, but we've got to create something that people can see and feel before they start, you know, before you can expect them to buy into it. So that's kind of what we're doing now. We've got a ton of really good, just younger kids. We've opened up our facilities, you know, for the entire summer with the community of Austin. And what I'm doing is just we're trying to attract kids that one, they want to get a great education.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please subscribe, like, jump up and down. Tell us how great we are with Basketball Coach Unplugged, wherever you listen to them, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Podcast, Castify. There's all sorts of them. Anchor. Anyway, we would love those. We read every one of those. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I'm challenging you right now. I would first of all challenge you. There's not another membership site like ours where, you know, you can ask my members. You call, you email. I respond like that because this is my thing. I love doing this. Also, go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops with Jake and I, once a week, and Teacher Side Gig. So especially for those teachers out there that are looking, you can hear other teachers that are doing similar things and keeping the lights on in their houses. So let's head back to the podcast.
And then two, also they're motivated basketball wise. Right. And so, you know, now I think the time's a little bit different. Back in our days, and I think you can attest to this, there were guys that were just basketball, basketball, basketball. They didn't go to class. They didn't do this. And then what happens is you get these horror stories of, you know, the dumb jock. And right. So nowadays things have changed a little bit because it's kind of cool to be smart, you know, and I like that in sports because what happens is it's going to help them and their influence just to be better with whatever they're doing, whatever they're selling, you know?
It is. It's like, I know. I had one of my current players went to Dartmouth and some mid-majors were looking at him. I go, what are you talking about? The Ivy Leagues are looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to cost you anything. What are you talking about? We're going to send you there because once the sneakers get hung up, that degree is going to be there.
Oh, for sure.
You're smart, 6'7", African-American, great kid. Yeah. Love you. Oh, my gosh. You're going to be able to write your ticket. You're set. You're a great human being.
Sure. That's the beautiful thing about the game now. And so the kids that are doing ramped up basketball stuff, basketball will take care of itself.
Right.
But I have some kids that I know for sure, you know what, they don't have aspirations of playing college basketball. But they're necessary for our program now. They give me 100%. And so what they're gonna be able to do is it's a fair trade. They're gonna use this game now to kind of shape their work ethic, to shape their sacrifice, their passion. And so, hey, this kid that wants to go into biochemistry, this kid that wants to go into medicine, if that kid has ran lines for a game that he's not going to do later on in life, but he's given me 100%, hey, I'll let that guy operate on me in a couple of years.
Well, it's like I'll have an open gym tonight. It will literally, Wisconsin in the summer right now in July, it's 110 and the humidity you could cut with a knife. Mm-hmm. Like, that takes sacrifice to come in.
Oh, for sure.
That's going to help you in life.
But I mean, it's just, it's the environment that we want to create. And I think too, in coaching, everyone throws around the word culture, 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 culture. And sometimes it turns into cliche, but it's just so necessary to have the right culture, you know, to walk in the gym and smell that leather, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, it's the sound of that. I think it's important. You know?
I know. So explain divisions in Texas. Like, what are you? Like, is there a private? I mean, how does that? Who do you?
We are a private school, but they have different divisions and kind of conferences. So we are a TAPS 5A school. Okay. And so whatever you're classified as, the highest level, I think, is 6A. You know, that's based on enrollment.
Okay.
But TAPS is probably a little bit more, there's a little bit more balance of kind of an academic standard. That kind of separates it from some other private schools. You know, hey, you can't just be anybody and just get in the school.
Right.
There's a certain standard that they want to, you know, maintain, because what'll happen is with private schools, you know, you'll have a bus of 9 foreigners show up and then, you know, things look a certain way. So they want to make sure that everything is kind of balanced here. So with sports, I think some of our athletes are getting the best academic resources. And then also they're getting a basketball situation that they probably have a little bit more control over also, because you can do a little bit more in private creatively than you can in public school. So it works out.
And is there one state champion? How does that work? Or is there like a
central? No, because there's different levels. So you have your 5A school that may be out of Dallas and they have, I don't know how many kids on campus, but then you got your 4A, your 3A, your 2A, you know, so the little town that has, you know, maybe 5,000 people in it, if they have a private school and they're a 2A school, they're entitled to their own championship, but it's probably not gonna be many 6'8", 6'9" kids running through there, you know? So to level everything off, it's kind of an appropriate means of competing to where the schools are kind of.
Does Texas, like 5A, have one state champion, or do you have like
We have one state champion. One state champion. There's one winner, right? And then there's, you know, a couple of second, third place, fourth place guys. And so that's how they do it.
Okay. Because I know California is a little different. I think they do it by sections even.
They've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, they got a ton of stuff going on over there. I just think it's weird to have two people, you know, saying that they're the champion of something, same time.
there's one champion. What do you think is the hardest thing to teach as a coach?
To
teach your players. Let me reword that. What's the hardest thing for you to teach your players to do? I'm always intrigued by what coaches say with that.
Well, the hardest thing I think to teach now is due to the evolving of the game, one, and then it's due to the evolving of the generation. And so now, like you mentioned earlier, our kids now have a ton of distractions, man, a ton of distractions. They got that phone, they have that device, they have this, they have that, they have, okay, who's liking me on social media? Who wrote this about me? And so the hardest thing I think now is devaluing a lot of superficial stuff that's around the game to some of these kids.
Right.
You know, without me sounding like, you know, a 90-year-old coach.
Right.
You know, and so getting them to kind of understand, you know, what's important. Also in private school sector, sometimes, you know, it's a little bit harder to get some of the kids to compete the way that you want them to compete because maybe, you know, they didn't come from a certain demographic. And so, you know, we have to kind of pull a ton of examples and a ton of whys to make sure that every kid, you know, we have some kids that, hey, we're doing some stuff for that. We're helping them. We're helping their families out. And those kids are good. But for a kid that's been pretty much privileged his entire life, but still has talent,
right?
You know, to make sure that that kid runs through a wall for me. You know, we have to sometimes lift the hood up and, you know, change some wiring around and, you know, get that thing worked out. But it's just, you know, it's just dealing with the new generation kid. There's a lot more buttons to press. And so with teaching and getting kids to understand why we want to do things every single day, you know, that's just the biggest tweak for me.
Okay. Describe your coaching philosophy.
My coaching philosophy revolves around ball movement.
Okay.
And I think what we do as players and as coaches, you kind of steal a little bit of the things that have worked in the past. You steal a little bit of the things that are working now. You know, you look at what you have and what could possibly, you know, kind of work. Hey, I've stole some of your content, you know, and I've used it.
Right.
But it's the good thing about basketball. But I think ball movement now and high IQ ball movement and play, it's like the new athleticism. You know, back in our day, if a guy could jump and dunk and run fast, it was like, oh, man, there's nothing you can do. But now, you know, it's ball movement. You know, and I got an early glimpse of that over in Europe. Because playing basketball is like chess over there sometimes. You know, you're not going to take 15 dribbles and step back. Hey, man, I got to pass. I got to cut through the corner. Now I got to come off of a stagger. Then I got to curl again. I got to hit my, you know what I mean? So getting to play that way and exposing some of the things that I just told you about were some of the harder things to deal with kids' attention span and focus. We got to be able to turn the game into where we can kind of punish that now for some of the kids or teams that aren't focused or disciplined.
Okay. So I have a whole thing. So what do you think kids are doing too much of right now?
Too much.
What do you think they're doing? What do you think is a weakness in our game?
I don't know what that is because like I said, and I'm trying to answer this the right way. And what I'm seeing, and it's different though, because like when I go out west, there's a certain kind of mentality. When I go east, there's a certain type of mentality. And I'm inspired by them. And then I come back home and it's what I see the most. But down here, it's just the superficial aspects of the game. And I don't know if it's because it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. They've made the game so marketable, I guess the NBA, and they've glorified it so much to turning into entertainment to where we've got all these eyes on it. But now, you know, what happens is the kids want to skip the hard work, the focus. They just want to get to the perks.
Right. You know? Right. Well, and I personally think it's like, come on, guys, you need a move and a counter move. You don't need my best point guards, my best guards had a move and a counter move.
That's it.
And they were really good at those two things. And they were division one. Like, Quit watching all the YouTube stuff. No one does that.
That's the problem, though. It's the highlight generation. Right. You know, it's the highlight generation. So, and, you know, it's weird because those are the things that they're attracted to.
I know.
You know, and it's just, I get it. It looks sexy, but like I tell people all the time, you know, like I love Kyrie Irving and I love, you know, Allen Iverson's game back when he played, you know, for what they were worth. But if I tried to go play somewhere like Kyrie Irving, dude, I wouldn't make any money.
Right.
No, because it's just not me, you know? And so, but like I said, it's the game, there's some things around it that are very impressionable. And so, you know, and I remember a couple of years ago, I was coaching grassroots and we had a big tournament, you know, going into a Sunday bracket play, semifinals, whatever. I had a kid text me at night, one of my kids on my team. And, you know, he'd ask me, Coach, what color jerseys are we wearing? Not, you know, for him to be, okay, we're wearing home or this and that. He was trying to match his socks. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm just like, I didn't even respond. You know
so here's a valid question. Do you think they play too much?
Do I think they play too much? I think they play like, I think they play, and forgive my English on this, non-meaningful basketball too much.
That's what I think happens. I agree. That is the best summary of what I think happens. You are right. Like, I'll give you an example. So my son is is going to Middlebury, great school out east. Mm-hmm. And before, I think it was either between his sophomore and junior and senior year. Mm-hmm. He's going to go play AAU. And I said, okay, so here's what's going to happen. You can go play AAU and we can go to Iowa and we go to Chicago and we can do that. Mm-hmm. That's not going to help you play for me.
For sure.
If you want to play for me, it's better that we go with me and the gym and work on your skill sets. And he was smart enough. Like he wasn't thinking he was a Division I player, but he wanted to go to a really good school, maybe play basketball, which he eventually was able to do. But I said, that's just hanging out with your friends at the pool and go play four games. That's not gonna make you a better player. I'm willing to do that if you want to do it.
Yeah.
Let's be real about what this is. And he was smart enough to go, okay, I need to work on my skill set. Let me go work on my skill set. And and that's hard. But you're right. I the only issue I have is I think there's a lot of people making a lot of money and a lot of kids. And that's the issue I have. It's like, let's be real about what most of this is. It's about money making and it's about having some maybe fun playing basketball.
Yeah.
But it's about money making.
Well,
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you love it and you want to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as we talk. Subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Those Apple podcasts mean a lot to us. I read every one of them. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.